this is a time when people are feeling stuck and they're feeling the pain, they're feeling loss. It is a great opportunity to reach out to people like you. And Betsy's not the only one. There's a lot of people out there. I just happen to think that she's the best. I happen to think that she's most qualified to guide us and navigate through this process, is someone who's been through it, who speaks a language of, not from the clinical perspective, but as someone who's lived it herself and knows all of the nuances of that journey, is creating a, you created an online course called Hurt to Hope. And it's meant to be a journey to help people who are in pain, who are hurting, to find their way to joy and happiness, correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Hurt to Hope is the process. People kept on asking, but how? How did you go from that Betsy to this Betsy? I feel like the glue to everything, and what I attribute my joy to, is faith. I teach people how to have faith in themselves and their ability to overcome this pain. I teach people how to have faith in others, including the big other, which is God or the universe or the higher source, and how to have peace and faith with the process. So the course is everything that's that you need to, it's the how. There are things that you can do to implement, or tools that you can use to increase your faith, so that you can discern and know what comes from you, your mind, and what comes from the divine. Mm-hmm. And that's included in the course.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little tip? Trying to tap into your enlightenment, you're tapping into your inner divine wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it's just consenting to the Holy Spirit, if you will. But it's the same concept. And practicing meditation regularly, having a morning routine, incorporating gratitude, those practices allow you to become more divine.
Yeah.
Allow you to tap into that inner wisdom, and we all have our own answers.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I have learned through that process is, and throughout my entire life, is that when you are still, those answers will come. And when they come, the way you know whether it comes from you or whether it comes from a divine place is, the answers that come from a divine place usually make no logical sense. Right?
Well, the way I know is through peace.
That too.
You feel peace. I have such empathy for divorce because it's so similar. It's so similar to the pain of losing a child, even. It's losing your life as you knew it, losing your family, your dreams. My career is based on saving marriages. I believe in the sacredness of marriage. But there are times that the right decision is divorce. And when that happens, I've witnessed my clients experience immense peace when the time to make that choice comes. And that doesn't take away the pain. Right? Like, so peace is when it still hurts, but you can sleep at night because you know it's the right thing. You know, when we're like indecisive and we're like, should I do this? Should I do that? It's all gone. All that is gone. Peace means that even if it sucks, it feels right. Mm-hmm. You can sleep at night. You have like a clean conscience and you just feel peace. So I think that's like a good way of discerning. So you feel peace with your choice.
Yeah. And that's a good tip, even while we're in this pandemic and as we're making decisions about, do we change jobs? Do we look for another job? Do we change careers? A lot of people are at an intersection in their lives where they are making decisions that are going to be life altering, not because they've wanted to, but the circumstances have created an opportunity or a situation where they have to make a decision. And the way you make those difficult decisions is not just based on everything that you know, but it is important to open yourself up and tap into a higher power we happen to believe in God, people believe in other things, whatever it is, you know, allow that to come into your life. And if the decision that you're making brings you peace, then you're probably on the right path. And like I said, chances are it probably won't make any logical sense. it makes no logical sense whatsoever. But for someone who uses logic and is very analytical, that's a very difficult thing for me to do. But I am very, very much a believer, and I believe in God, and I believe in its power. I believe in our divinity. So I absolutely think it's necessary to tap into that as well. So.
The priest said those that were happy again chose to honor their children or their lost one through service, through love, acts of kindness, and gratitude.
Acceptance is the last stage of grief, according to research and theories. But acceptance is the first step to overcoming the pain. If you welcome it, if you accept it, if you say, it is what it is, this is what we're living in right now. If you live in the present moment and you trust wholeheartedly that this very moment is exactly what you need to become your best self, to have your epic life, to build resilience, grit, and grow from it, if you believe that wholeheartedly, and I do, then acceptance is not that hard, because you know that this pain is not going to be wasted.
Oh, I'm sorry, so but I it is. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, I know it. I know clinically, and someone who's been through it, experienced what it's like on the other end. It's, you know, we can say that, and I do say that personally too. But it is hard. It's hard. And I'm hearing you say a couple of different things, and I want to reiterate and come back to it. I'm hearing you say that whatever pain you're feeling, and whatever level that is, whatever loss you're feeling, whether you're feeling a loss of a job or you're feeling a loss of your routine, whatever you're feeling the loss, whatever that pain is, it is valid, and it's accurate. And it's yours, and it's no less than someone else's, because it is yours. And it has its own place and validity in your own life, whether it's a paper cut or a loss of a child. Like, it doesn't matter where it falls on the spectrum. And I think that is an important point to make, because sometimes we do feel like we compare our pain to someone else's, and we don't feel entitled or worthy of feeling the kind of pain that we're feeling, because it's not as bad as someone else's pain, right? It could always be worse.
You even feel guilty. I felt guilty.
Yeah, like, you feel
how
guilty.
How could I be worrying about homeschooling when there's people dying?
Right.
And risking their lives to, like, the medical staff. My heart is about to explode with gratitude for the medical teams.
Yeah.
And here I am, safe in my house with my kids and my husband, and complaining about homeschooling.
Right.
So you feel guilty.
You feel guilty for feeling some type of loss and some type of pain. So if you're listening to this and you're feeling that way, I think I'm hearing you say the first step is to give it a validity, right?
Feel it. And embrace it. Welcome it. We think pain is bad because it feels terrible. But I remember the first time I came up with this, I was in a session with a client that was very depressed, and she was in a lot of pain and had a lot of anxiety. And I remember telling her, like, I was inspired and excited and very much into our session. And I'm like, pain is awesome. And she looked at me like I was crazy.
I do look at you like you're crazy when you do say that. I'm not going to lie. Like, and who says pain is awesome? Pain sucks.
It hurts. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to prove my case. Pain is awesome because pain humbles you. When you're in pain, your ego goes out the door. Your pride goes out the door. It humbles you. You're on your knees. And that's when you grow closer to God, closer to the people you love. You shed your self-righteousness because you're on the ground and you need help and you accept help. So pain helps you. It motivates you. Because when you're feeling pain, you want to get rid of it so badly mm-hmm. that you will do anything to get rid of it. You're motivated to transform your life, to change, to try new things, to get rid of that pain. Pain makes you grow.
I need you to stop having a session with me right now. I need you to stop. Because I'm not the only one, right? This is the reason why I wanted to create these platforms, and it took everything in me today to do this, because I knew that I am in a vulnerable state just like everybody else is. And now that we're feeling the pain and we're feeling the loss, what do we do? What do we do? The entire world has been brought to its knees. The economy has been brought to its knees. We individually and collectively, in relationship or single or whatever, our families have been brought to our knees. We're being humbled in ways that we never anticipated or expected or were even prepared for. So now what?
So let me just tell you the one thing that pain does that we cannot forget, and it's going to be the foundation of everything we discussed today. And that is that pain makes you grow, and it prepares you for future experiences. And I always compare it to a fertilizer. What is a fertilizer made of? Poop. A fertilizer is made of poop. But what does it do? It nourishes plants, it helps them grow, create fruit, and that's what pain does to us. Pain is our fertilizer. It builds us up, it nourishes us, it grounds us, it creates empathy, it makes us better, it creates frames of reference, and it stinks like poop. It feels like it.
Yeah.
But it's just transforming you. Haruki Murakami says, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Mm. I love that. We all have and will endure pain, and I think we all are right now. But suffering is an option. And to me, pain is hope. Because when you feel it, you grow and you get all these benefits out of it that make you better. So pain itself is hope, and suffering is pain without that hope. It's darkness, it's flashbacks, it's there's no tomorrow, it's not going to get better ever,
right?
And we can choose otherwise. So my work is on helping people end suffering now, and for that we don't need the world to change. We don't need the coronavirus to be extinguished right this moment to end suffering. And that's what I would love to give the people that are listening today. The first step to overcoming pain, to finding joy, is feeling it. There's a saying that says the only way around pain is through. We have to go through the pain.
Right.
We have to feel it to be able to heal it. There's a term used in psychology called radical acceptance. So it's not just accepting that it is what it is. It's radically accepting that this is what's going on. And Eckhart Tolle takes it to another level. Another level. We know that guy is amazing, but he's to another level. Eckhart Tolle says, you should accept the present moment, your reality, as if you would have chosen it. When I heard this in my audiobook the first time, I remember thinking, like, how could I choose to lose my daughter? How could I choose this as my reality? But it's that radical. If you accept your situation, your present moment, this crisis and pandemic we're in, as what it is, as if we would have chosen it so that we can become the people that we're meant to become and rise up from here, then it's easier to embrace and feel the pain. So acceptance, again, though it's part of the last stage of grief, I think it's the one that we should be working towards first.
I want to honor my daughter.
Bye-bye.
In Espanol.
So everything that I do is to honor her.
Yeah. I have a beautiful family, crazy and all, and I have a little angel that watches over me and helps me become a better person and helps me help you in that journey as well. Thank you.
This is a time when people are feeling stuck and they're feeling the pain, they're feeling loss. It is a great opportunity to reach out to people like you. And Betsy's not the only one. There's a lot of people out there. I just happen to think that she's the best. I happen to think that she's most qualified to guide us and navigate through this process, is someone who's been through it, who speaks a language of, not from the clinical perspective, but as someone who's lived it herself and knows all of the nuances of that journey, is creating a, you created an online course called Hurt to Hope. And it's meant to be a journey to help people who are in pain, who are hurting, to find their way to joy and happiness, correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Hurt to Hope is the process. People kept on asking, but how? How did you go from that Betsy to this Betsy? Mm. So that's me sharing the process. So I was very mindful in creating these, I call them hope sheets. In engaging in these hope sheets are going to help them experience the benefits and transformation of therapy. And I will also have Q&A live webinars in which I can answer their questions. They received practical tools. It talks about the community and how to find the right resources and what people to surround yourself with. And finally, I feel like the glue to everything and what I attribute my joy to is faith. I teach people how to have faith in themselves and their ability to overcome this pain. I teach people how to have faith in others, including the big other, which is God or the universe or the higher source, and how to have peace and faith with the process. So the course is everything that you need. It's the how.
How do we, because that's
to hope.
Right. That's the question. The what is what we can all find by just, you know, putting those words in Google. Thank you for giving us your time and your energy and your wisdom and your grace and allowing us to learn a little bit about you and about your life and sharing a little bit of yourself with us. Thank you, Betsy.
Yeah.
And thank you for being my friend.
Thank you for
always being there and being my friend. I can't say enough for that. I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.